Thank you, dear brethren. It's a privilege to be here with you all, dear saints, to be able to open the Word of God and just to share something of the goodness of our blessed Lord Jesus. And just thank God that that we could be here, my wife, and just to have just what a privilege it is that the Lord, you know, by His grace and mercy did save our souls, and we're able to in like manner have fellowship one with another, that one with the Lord Jesus. And I just pray that we may much blessing from the dear saints in Australia. Much love to you all. And it's been a blessing, and I pray that it may be a blessing to us, to me and my wife, just being in the presence together with you all. And I just pray that we may be blessed as we hear the Word of God. But I'd just like to read a portion from the Word of God in Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and just reading the first three verses. It says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And one last portion in Philippians in chapter 3. And now reading from verse number 12. "Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the higher calling of God in Christ Jesus." In verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from hence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the work whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." And may the Lord add blessing to the precious reading of His Word. But we just come to the Lord in prayer and ask for some help. Our gracious God and Father, we do thank You for this time before Thee as we can open the Word of God. Father, as we can learn something of the preciousness of our Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray that we this evening may hear Thy voice, that we may hear something, Father, of how the Lord Jesus did walk upon this earth, an example, Father, that we ought to follow. And we pray, Father, that each and every one, that we may be encouraged to walk worthy in the calling that Thou hast called us unto the coming of the Lord Jesus. So we just do pray for much help, and we do ask for all Thy blessing in the most worthy and precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, brethren, as we go through these portion of Scriptures, as we read, in the book of the Ephesians, we read here the Apostle Paul. And he was one that he, at this present time, that he was there in Rome. And we read here that this portion to the Ephesians, this epistle that he writes, is split up into a twofold ministry. And the first three chapters, we would read of the position that we are in, that each and every one of us, that we are sons of God, that we have been given the spiritual blessings from on high, from heaven. And we would learn there of the blessing that He's poured out unto us by His grace. But then we would read in the next three chapters that from chapters 4 to 6, we would learn and we'll see of some of how Paul would explain some of the practical ways in which we can apply that, because we have been poured out by these blessings from heaven, of how we ought to walk worthy of His calling that He's called us. But we would go through, and we see here in the first verse, actually in the chapter 1, we'll just read some of the blessings that we can't even begin to imagine, that we are partakers of these blessings and of the positions that we have. And we read even in chapter 1 of how he even begins these first three chapters before we start chapter 4. And we see of how he's in verse 3 of how he says he hath blessed us. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And these blessings, as we see verse by verse throughout the whole chapter 1, he goes on, he says that we have been chosen, that even before the foundation of the world, that he chose us, that he plucked us out, even before we were born, that he chose us. He will go on and say that the privileges that we have, that we are adopted in verse 5, that we have adopted as children, that God himself, our blessed Father, that he has reconciled us unto himself by the precious blood of Christ, and that we are now sons. What a wonderful privilege that is. And then he goes on, verse 7, that we have been redeemed, that we have redemption, that by the Lord Jesus, by his precious blood, that he has redeemed us with his precious blood, that we are no longer our own, but now we are his, that we have been bought by his precious blood, and that we have been redeemed, and we can have joy that we are now justified, that we've now been, it says in that same verse, that we've been, our sins have been forgiven, that we've been justified in all simplicity, it's just as if we haven't sinned. And as it says, as far as the east is from the west, that he remembers them no more. And that's the true blessings that we can rejoice in now that we have. And then he goes on and continues in verse 11, that we have obtained inheritance, that now with the Lord Jesus, that all that the Father has given unto him, unto his hands, that we are now heirs with him. And what a blessing that is, that we are together heirs with the Lord Jesus. And we are now also, it says in verse number 13, that we've been sealed by the Spirit of God, that we have the Comforter that the Lord promised, that he has come, that he dwells within us, and he would help us to continue on this pilgrim journey, that together we may walk worthy for him, and that we're sealed with the Spirit of God. What a blessing that is. But then he goes on, even in chapter 2, when he speaks about of how we are now quickened together with Christ, that we're now raised and seated in the heavenlies, even right now. And also he goes on and says that we who were once Gentiles, in that same chapter, we were once, had no promises of God. We weren't partakers of any of his promises, but yet that he would love us, that he would desire to make one new man, and he would desire to, that the Lord Jesus to make us. And by his precious blood, it says that he has drawn one man unto himself, and we are now partakers of those promises. Isn't that a blessing? And also in that same verse, it says that he also has blessed us, that we've been given access in verse 18. We've been given access unto the Father, that we can now go and freely enter into the presence of God, that the veil has been rent from top to bottom, and we can have a relationship, that we can cry unto him, Abba Father, and we can be in his holy presence, in his presence, together in prayer. What a privilege, brethren. And then he goes on in verse 3, and he speaks of how the revelation has been given unto Apostle Paul in verse number 3, of the mystery of God, the wisdom of God, the church, the one that was a mystery of old, and is now encouraging the dear saints of God, that we're now partakers of those promises forever. And all he desired for them was that they may be strengthened, that they may be grounded in the love of the Lord Jesus. And then all sums it up, that because of these blessings, because of the position that you have as sons of God, it says here in verse 4, it says, therefore the prisoner of the Lord. He was a prisoner of the Lord. And he speaks, you know, many times, not only in the previous chapter, in the first verse of chapter 3, he calls himself a prisoner of the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 8, he calls himself again the prisoner of the Lord. and also in Philemon 1:1, the prison of the Lord. And you can imagine Apostle Paul being there in prison in Rome. And if it was one of us, we would be sending an epistle to the Ephesians, I'm sure, that we would ask, for our own need. He didn't ask of them that he may be let go of liberty at all from prison, but rather he looked not to himself, and all he would encourage the brethren would be that he would beseech them, that he would encourage them, that they may walk worthy of the vocation wherewith they are called. Now, he was one that was selfless, looked not only unto his own needs, but to the needs of others, that the brethren may be encouraged and built up, that they may walk faithful for the glory of God. And when we see there, I really love when we go through the epistle of the Ephesians, Apostle Paul, he identifies the Christian faith as a walk of faith. And many a times in the Ephesians and the other epistles throughout the New Testament, he says our Christian faith is a walk. So the first thing he says here in verse 1, he says, he beseeches them, the brethren, he beseeches the Ephesians, says that ye may walk worthy. And that's the first thing, that he has asked us to be diligent, that we may walk worthy, that we may walk after a godly sort, that we may walk as to be holy, that we may live holy lives as the Lord Jesus would say in 1 Peter, that we may be holy as he is holy. And that's the first thing that Apostle Paul would encourage the brethren, that they may walk worthy. But then we go on and we see there's seven walks actually throughout the New Testament that I found. And the next one he would encourage the brethren in Ephesians 2, in the verse 10, he would say there that for we, Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That we should walk in them. And here he encourages the brethren that our life should be a walk of good works. That our life shall bear fruit for God, that we should desire to walk worthy in good works unto him, that we may bring him much glory in our life as we walk continually in a life of good works for him. But then he continues on and he goes on and he speaks in Ephesians 4:7. He encourages the brethren there. Sorry, 4:17. It says there that in the last verse, it says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not. It says, walk not as other Gentiles walked in the vanity of their mind. So then here, Apostle Paul, he encourages them that our Christian walk, that when we were saved by the grace of God, that we put off that old man, and we're now going to live a life in the newness of life. We're now going to live a life together, no longer as we once walked in the vanity of our minds, no longer in the things and the pleasures of this world, but we will now walk a life which is a life like unto he walked, a life not as like the Gentiles, but a life that brings much glory unto the Lord. So that's why here he encourages them that they may walk, that they may not walk, that they may put aside the things that they once were entangled with in the world, but now walk together, and turn and walk in newness of life. And that was a walk to walk not in the things of the world. And then we go on, and he goes on in this time in Galatians. It also talks about walking in the Spirit. In Galatians 5:16-25, he talks about walking in the Spirit of God. And We see even in the greatest example when I think of one who walked in the Spirit is the Lord Jesus Himself. And when we read in Luke chapter 4 in verse 1, it says there that as our blessed Lord, after he was baptized there in by the John the Baptist there in the River Jordan, as he was led, it says there, as he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, he was led by the Spirit of God. And here, God is saying that we may have an awareness, a sensitiveness, we may be close to the leading of the Spirit of God in all our circumstances, in everything as we serve the Lord, that we may be led by the Spirit. That we always may be led by the Spirit of God. But the Lord Jesus, He was the greatest example of that. But that's the next thing, that we walk in the Spirit. And then we've got the walk in love, which is in that same, in the book of the Ephesians, in chapter 5, in verse number 2. It says there that, "Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love." And that's the one thing that He desires of us, brethren, that we may walk in love in all our ways. That first and foremost, that our walk in love toward the Lord Jesus, that agape love that He desires of us, that He may be the preeminent one of our, in our life, the walk of love toward our fellow brethren, toward the fellow saints of God, and the walk of love that He desires of those sheep that are still lost in the world, that the Lord may give us a deeper desire for the love for those who are still lost. And that's the walk of love that He desires of us. So toward our blessed Lord, toward our fellow brethren, to the fellow laborers of the Lord, and also to those who are still lost and know not the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And the last two we got there in Ephesians 5:8, we've got to walk as children of light. So it says there in verse 8, it says there that for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So He desires that we who have tasted of the goodness of our Lord Jesus, the true light which has come down from heaven, and He was the true light, and the light of the gospel, the light of the gospel that He shined upon in our hearts, when we tasted, when we saw our wretchedness, and we truly trusted in that light, our blessed Lord Jesus, that now we are to be a light in this world, a light and a salt in this evil and idolatrous world, that all may see of the true light in us, that we may be something of a reflection and a resemblance of Him in this day. And that's what He desires of us, that we may walk as children of light. And last one, it's the last one, brethren, in the same book, in Ephesians 5, in verse 15, it says that, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, that we may all, with all diligence, with all patience, that whatever the Lord brings unto us, whatever service that He desires of us, whatever He desires to bring before us, that we may with all diligence give ourselves completely unto Him." And that's exactly what He desires, and that we may be diligent in all our ways, that whatever our hands, that the Lord gives us to place our hands upon, that we may give ourselves completely to that. Whether it be small, whether it be public ministry, whether it be handing out hymn books, whether it be service for God, that we may give ourselves diligently to whatever the Lord calls us to do. And that's a walk of circumspection. And I just pray that the Lord may speak to us, What is our walk before the Lord? How are we walking from the day when we truly tasted of that light of God? When we truly turned and trusted our Lord Jesus? How has our walk been from then? How's our progression been? Have we been walking? Have we been walking worthy, as Apostle Paul would say here? Are we an example? Are we those who live after a godly sort? Holy. Do we desire that, brethren? Do we desire to bear fruit for Him? Is our life a continual a working and service for Him, that we may bring much glory unto His name? You know, are we sensitive to the Spirit of God in all our ways, in all circumstances, in all decisions? Are we waiting upon the Lord for the leading of the Spirit of God? Do we wait upon it, or do we go against the Spirit of God? And the Lord desires that we may be led by the Spirit of God to keep close to Him, that He may lead us as He led the Lord Jesus Himself. Do we walk in love? Do we walk in love, brethren? Love to our blessed Lord, that intimate relationship with our blessed Lord. The love, that deep agape love toward the brethren, even if we're wronged. And love for the lost souls. May the Lord help us, give us a deeper love even for those who are lost. And that's what the Lord desires, that we may be walking as light, that we may be an example in these last days before our Lord come, that we may be a light in this world, a salt. And that's what here Apostle Paul is encouraging them, that they may walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And then we go on, and he says there, that in that same verse, wherewith, it says, walk, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And when we go through the scriptures, you know, God has called us. That He has called us, He's predestined us, even before the world was. And He's called us. And I want to bring forth four important truths. Four callings which God calls us. Which I believe that this is the desire of God, that if we are to walk worthy of His calling. Now the first thing we read is in 2 Timothy in chapter 1 in verse 9. There we read, the first thing is we read a holy calling. That He's called us to a holy calling. A calling that we may be sanctified, that He desires that we may be separate, that we may be separate for God Himself, that we may live a sanctified life for God alone, and not as we once were, once walked in the world, but rather He desires that we may live a holy calling, one that is separate for Him alone. And the next calling we read in Hebrews 3:1. In Hebrews 3:1, it speaks about a heavenly calling. A heavenly calling. And that calling He has, that He has given us already. That calling He has given us, the privilege that we may be sons of God. That He has given us that position, that we are now one with the Lord Jesus. And that's something that we've already have. The privilege that we have right now, that we are one with Him as sons of God. And then we go on, and He speaks about, as we read in Philippians in chapter 3, the next one we read is a high calling. A high calling. And here we read, in those verses that we read from 12 up to 14, we see here that Apostle Paul, that he had not It says there that he had not attained, in the first verse of verse 12, that not as though I have already attained, that I have already accomplished, either were already perfect. That though of all his accomplishments in the things of the Lord, he never considered himself to be perfect, to have accomplished all things for God. And that word actually perfect, actually in the Greek it's teleo, which is to mean to become mature in the faith, to become a full age in the Christian faith. And Apostle Paul, he said that I have not apprehended, I haven't accomplished, I am not perfect. But here he says that he says one thing in verse 13. He says that this one thing I do, and that's forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. In verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the higher calling of God in Christ Jesus. That all, Apostle Paul would say, that all my accomplishments, that all my failures, that all those, I put it all behind. And I look toward the prize, our blessed Lord Jesus, that I continue to strive, that I may finish this course, that I may finish the faith, that I may continue to the mark of that prize, that even when that I may have something for Him, that prize we may receive of Himself, that we may have something of Him to lay at His feet. That prize that He will give to us. That we are not worthy, as it will say in Revelations 5. And that's what He desires. That we may strive for that prize. For that higher calling. That we may strive for Him, for His glory. And the last one is the one thing that we look forward to. The one thing that we, these saints of God, that we hope in and that we long for. And that's the last one, which is in Ephesians 4, 5. it says there that there is one body. Verse 4, I'll read just for connection. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. And what a blessed hope that we have, that Apostle Paul would encourage us, they would beseech the brethren that they may walk worthy of their vocation. For there is a hope waiting for us. There is that the day is at hand now, that our Lord Jesus is coming. And brethren, if this would not change us, if this would not change our walk in this life, at least this would change us. At least this should change us, the hope of our calling. Because He is coming. And there shall be that time when we shall sit before the judgment seat of Christ. And His desire is that hope, that something of our walk, that we can reward Him, that we can lay at His feet. And that's the hope that we long for. Is that time when He shall come. When these vile bodies shall change unto His glorious body. When this corruption shall put on incorruption. When this mortality shall put on immortality. And we shall forever be clothed with His righteousness. It's forever to be with Him forever. To worship Him as we ought to. And that is our hope, brethren. And that is our hope that shall strive, that we, like Apostle Paul, that will encourage us, that we may walk worthy. That we may walk worthy we may walk in good works, that we may walk not as we once walked in the things of the world, not once the things that we were entangled with, not anymore, but we will walk and strive, that we may walk in the Spirit of God, that we may walk in love in all things, unto the coming of the Lord Jesus. And that's what He desires, brethren. That's what He desires. But, you know, when I think of the one that is the greatest example, He is one that we read in 1 John. And he's the greatest example that we ought to follow. In 1 John chapter 2. In verse number 6, it says there that he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. And when you think of our blessed Lord Jesus, when you think of him, brethren, of how he would come from glory, that walk of love, that he would stoop down from the glory on high, that he would stoop down and take the lowest place of all, and to come upon this earth, God incarnate in the flesh. And that was that walk that he stooped down for us. And when I think of him, even in John, in chapter 1, of there as he was there in the River Jordan, as John the Baptist would say, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." And it says there, if we read there, as he walked, if we read there in John's Gospel, verse 36, and looking unto Jesus as he walked, that he was the Lamb of God, that he was one. We see there in that verse, we see his person, we see himself, the Lamb that had come, that of old, that could never take away sin, but this was the Lamb that had come to as it says in verse number 29, that he was the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And that his ministry would begin here, and that he would walk a walk of good works. You know, right after that, we read in John's Gospel in chapter 2, right after that we see a life of good works. We see him there in Cana. We see him there, the first miracle of how he would meet the need of the bridegroom and the bride. And he would provide them, that he would change the water into wine. And he lived a life of good works upon this earth. And he was not only that, of course, but as we continue to see his life, his perfectness, his spotlessness throughout his ministry. You know, a life of good works, meeting the needs of all. You know, though he did not meet his own needs, but he would meet the needs of others. You know, though he would not turn the stone into bread there in the wilderness, but rather he would feed the 5,000, and meet their need. And he was one that lived a life that walked in good works unto the glory of God. But then when we read of him, you know, we read of him that walk from the Mount of Olives there unto Gethsemane, and there we would see of the submission unto the Father, that the agony that he would face for us, that cup that he would have to drink for us in our stead, and we see a life that was submitted unto the Father, that he surrendered his life unto the Father's will for his glory, that we may be redeemed, that we may forever be with him. And that was his desire, that he walked there in the Garden of Gethsemane. But then, brethren, when I think of him as he would walk there from the Garden of Gethsemane unto Gabbatha. And there, brethren, as he would be there, our blessed Lord, as he would be that band of soldiers which would mock him, which would scourge him, which would have that crown of thorns put upon his head. That was that walk of love. That walk of love and compassion for us. for in our stead, as he would be there before Pilate, as he would be spat upon, as he would be mocked, the one, though he was reviled, he reviled not again. Though he suffered, he threatened not. But he committed himself unto him who judgeth righteously. And that was that walk of love, brethren. That's an example that we ought to follow. But then, the greatest of all, when I think of him, that walk from Gabbatha to Golgotha, when he would walk that Calvary hill for us, that he would bear the sin of all mankind upon himself, that he would bear my sin and yours. That precious man. What love, brethren. How we ought to walk. That walk of love for us. And that walk after from Golgotha unto glory, when he will be seated forever at the right hand of God, forever glorified for us. That we may be an example, brethren. That we may be example unto these last days. That we may walk worthy for the vocation that he's called us. For he is worthy. And may all glory be unto him. Let us pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we do give thee thanks. This privilege that we can be before you. We thank you, Father. This time, Father, we can have to spend in thy presence, in thy word. And we just pray, O God, that you may help us. That you may help us walk in this world a life that is worthy. A life that is worthy of thy calling that you have called us to. And that we may give our whole selves to you. For you are worthy, O God. And we just do pray that you may help us in all things. We do bless thy holy name in the most worthy and precious name. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.